Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. And He has, amen. Brother Mark.
Hello, everybody. How you doing? Good to see you today. This morning, we've got choices. The Rogers Babies or Daniel's Sermon? Which one do you think we're going to take a look at? Wow, that was a slam dunk, wasn't it? Now, how is everybody doing? It's good to see you this morning. Welcome to the Victory Bible Class. Thank you for being here. It's a beautiful day. Why? Because the Lord made it. The Lord made this day. He let you and me be a part of it. You know what? I do not have the prayer list. It's on its way. So in the meantime, let's do anniversary. Bob on the prayer list? Bob Edwards. Is he on the prayer list? All right. Bob Edwards. If he's not on the prayer list, we will put him on the prayer list. How about that? Bob's been struggling for, two or three weeks now. It's been a while. He did make it to rehab. Okay, good. Good to hear. All right, so I'm reading this for the first time as you're hearing it for the first time. So here we go. Let's see what happens. I'm probably not going to say this name right. Orgelina. Did I get that close? Man, I kind of got it close. All right, this is a pray. I've been calling her Angelina for like a long time, so I really, really messed that up, and my apologies. But this is a praise, so what the little mess up that I did is going to be completely forgotten when I read this praise to you. Thank the Lord for the cancer is gone. How about that? Huh? So that's good. Praise is always in order, right?
It went where yes. I don't
know where it's at, but I together. Just gone. It's gone, huh? That's good. Hey, praise is always in order. Cancer is a scary thing, my friends. Cancer is not a thing to be taken lightly. We all know that. So, many of us, as I look around this room, I see some of you that have had cancer and you've been through it before. There's not a single person here who doesn't have somebody in your family or somebody close to you that's had cancer. So when we get something like this, this is a praiseworthy moment, is it not? Skylar Delfino is a three-month-old with COVID. Diane, your great-granddaughter, right? All right. I think I heard about that the other day. And your granddaughter is in St. Jude, right? Still there in Memphis. Okay. Okay. All right. All right. We'll pray in just a moment. Let's do anniversaries. So anniversaries for this week as we have them. Let's see. The Morrises. That's the only one I have. So happy anniversary to the Morrises. Any other anniversaries? And it's on, I should give the day, shouldn't I? It's on the 9th, which is what, Wednesday or Thursday, something like that? Friday. Okay. Flip a coin, pick a day. There we go. Birthdays. Jenny Green, Dorothy Hill, Beth Burris, Rick McConnell, Kathy Cole, and Joyce Alcorn. That's birthdays for this week. Any birthdays we missed? Anybody? One once? No one? All right. All right, good. I guess that's it. Let's pray. Let's pray, and then we'll move on and see Daniel's sermon. Excuse me, the Rogers Babies. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the beautiful day that you gave us. Thank you for all my friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ that are here gathered together. Such an encouragement every time I walk in, and this is family. We have the same Heavenly Father, so we're all family, and I thank you for that. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins, being buried, and raised on the third day that we might have eternal life. Thank you that it's a free gift. Thank you that you love us, agape love that you've given to us. And Thank you for all your blessings. We thank you for this praise that I just read of cancer. You've brought many people in this room, sitting in this very room through cancer. And here's one more. And we want to stop and give you thanks and give you praise for that. We've got a great grandchild and a grandchild of Diane Edwards going through a tough time right now. I've called those names out, and I want to pray for them. I want to ask you to bless our class here this morning. Thank you for the mission conference that we had recently. We had our missionaries come through here, and especially the ones that we've had in this class. Just bless them. God provide for them. And thank you that we can be a part of them. And this morning, as we get back into our normal class, I pray for my friend, Brother Dan. Just bless him as he speaks to us. Speak through him. Give him the words we need to hear. Give him the scriptures that we need to read. Give him the thoughts. Just give him guidance. And strengthen us that we may walk closer with you. Help us to learn something today maybe we didn't know. Maybe take an old truth, something we've known all our lives, and just make it real to us. May this time be profitable today. And I thank you for all your goodness, all your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Thank you, Brother Mark. Well, I don't need this. They already turned me on. I forget what I got attached. I was just informed also, and I didn't even know this, but our pastor's wife, Mrs. Amy Herdman, her father just went in the hospital this morning, and we've been praying for him. He's not been doing real well, so if you would pray. And this by no means means that, you know, when we read these prayer requests, most of the requests that we have on our email sheet and for our class, and then those that we read out on Sunday morning would be something that's near and dear to those that are in this room. It is by no means the only prayer request in all of our church. So if you need to know that more, on Wednesday nights, we'll have a fuller list. And then even above and beyond that, the staff, we have a list that we pray for on a daily basis in staff meeting. And some of those are prayer requests that maybe one of you have asked, hey, I'd rather you not share this with somebody, but if you would, pray for this. So there's just a lot of needs and a lot of situations that we pray about. And the reason we pray about it is most of us can only do so much. And then from then on, God has to intervene. And we know that if God's in it, then things will be taken care of as He would have it to be done. It's not always as we wish, but I've reminded several people this week of this one thing, and that is this. Well, this is nice, isn't it? Nothing like getting fired from the class for showing stuff on TV, right? Just press the OK button once. I've shared this verse, and that is in Philippians 4, when it says, let your prayers, your supplications, your requests be made known unto God. There's three different words for describing the same thing. Help. Dear Lord, help. When we let those be made known to God, and then the Bible says right there in that verse, if you do it with thanksgiving, there is a key there, you do it with thanksgiving, then He says He's going to answer your prayer? No. The next verse says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep your hearts and your mind. That mind can play tricks with you. When we're in the middle of something and we're praying for something and there's somebody that we hold dear to us that's going through something, our mind plays games with us. And sometimes it's not always good. And so if you let your request with thanksgiving be made known unto God, He says, it's not just, a lot of times we blow it off as, oh, He's going to give you peace. Ah, bravo, nice. No, He gives you, if you read the Bible, He says, His peace. God's peace is different than any peace in the entire universe. God does not, He's not worried or concerned or stressed about anything. He takes that peace. And then it goes on to say that it'll keep your heart, your mind through Christ Jesus. And it says it's the peace that passeth all understanding. People will look at you and they almost look at you and say, what in the world is wrong with this person? They're not acting like one should act when you're in the middle of something. And that is because he takes and he hands you his peace. So if you've got somebody, you're going through something perhaps, just know that as a child of God, that peace, his peace, is available to you. And that's what he gives you. And we can ride out any storm. You say, what kind of peace is that? It's the kind that makes you go to sleep in the middle of the storm, where they have to wake you up like they did Christ. Is that not true? Wonderful. We're praising the Lord for faith promise as of August 28th, $362,000. That is no small feat. And I want to commend the people of God this morning for being obedient to what God has placed on your heart. And then in addition to that, you all gave $2,789 to buy gift cards for our missionaries. And so what we did is we took those gift cards and we mixed them up and we split them up amongst all the missionaries that came in, and we handed them to them in a little gift card booklet. And that's like getting Christmas, man. They're going down the road saying, where are we going to eat today? You know, it's just really neat. And you all started that years ago, and it's a wonderful thing, and I praise the Lord for that. So as a matter of one other thing. Okay, this morning when you came in, you saw that we're celebrating. What are we celebrating? We're celebrating spiritual growth. We're celebrating Brian and Angia are going to be getting married. And remind us of the day again. The 17th, they're going to be getting married. And Brian and Angia, I just wanted you to know that we love you and we're rooting for you and we're praising God for you and we want to help you grow in Christ. And you guys have been a great addition to our class. Thank you for being here. And what you see this morning is that. And I want you to know that. So thank you for being here. Got a lot going on. Let me give you a couple announcements and then we'll get into this. As we exit our class today, may I ask that we work on trying to exit to the right? So you normally do. You exit to the right, and then I'm working with the choir to bring them in through the left. Okay, that's why you saw me move the books over this way, because we have been creating a malfunction junction over here on Sunday mornings, and we're trying to work with that. Also, ladies' Bible studies have begun, and so if you need anything along those lines, please see Miss Leslie Farmer or Mrs. Amy Herdman. Right now, I believe she's on her way back from Ohio, you can see her. And then, real quick, before we begin, may I share something with you? We were not able to share it until now. Carmen and I last week, was it last week? Goodness. It was the 23rd of August. Okay. Things are a blur. But we were able to attend the court date for our grandkids' adoption. And once that happened and it became official, then we could share with you. And you all had a great part in helping them. And so it is because of that that we would like to show you something this morning. And before that, I'd like to read this from Anthony and Jana. And that is, from the bottom of our hearts, we just wanted to thank you all for the diapers, the gift cards. It's so nice to not even have to worry about rushing to the store for another box of diapers. And we were able to use the gift cards to buy a crib mattress for both babies, a much-needed changing table, and several containers of formula. Your kindness has touched our hearts in a big way, and we look forward to y'all meeting our sweet Liam and Toviel. Anthony, Jana, Liam, and Toviel. So we're going to play something for you here. Count to three. You go ahead. One, two, three. I might have gotten behind. I'm going to stop mine. Okay, let's go back real quick. Let's do this in sync. Just press the back button. Nope, too far. Do it again. Play. Do it. Do it. There you go. We practiced this yesterday, and it was flawless. Turn that up if you would, babe. Thank you. What a blessing. You got to see the journey. That even made me tear up. And Rogers, don't cry. I cannot imagine what goes through people's minds to even remotely think of eliminating something that precious. They were born at 33 weeks, and a couple days ago they turned 4 months old. And we're looking forward to, in another week or so, getting together. All four cousins are going to party together in another week and a half or so. And we're looking forward to that, being with them. Thank you for your part in helping. And you guys were a tremendous blessing. Well, we're coming back to where we were at the start of August. You say, Brother Dan, when is this ever going to end? Well, we are getting close to the end. And as it so turns out, in the study of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, we're getting to the point where, and I think it's all going to mesh together, in October, Pastor wanted to have Equipped to Serve series Sunday nights in the auditorium. And what we're studying here is all going to mesh together, and hopefully it'll time out almost perfectly to where the end of the study of the Holy Spirit, you get to the study of the gifts of the Spirit. And so we are going to open up that study to the entire church when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit. And Lord willing, we'll be able to do that in the month of October. So this morning, we talked about the sealing of the Holy Spirit last, and so we finished that up the last time we spoke. This morning, I'd like to touch on briefly on the baptism with the Holy Spirit, the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And take your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. We did not have a handout this morning because I'll not barrage you with verses this morning, so you won't need. We'll take the time to take to look at these verses. But Matthew chapter 3, it's actually been an exciting journey studying through the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. It becomes so much real to us, the life that we live and what we possess, what indwells each and every believer. It's just a wonderful thing. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11, the Bible says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He, and who is speaking here? John is speaking. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with what? And with fire. Some folks have had a struggle with this as they study through the scriptures, and you're not alone in this. This happens to many, and so hopefully we can clarify that a little bit. And I'm going to briefly touch on some things that other folks teach, and then we're going to get down, hopefully, in 5 minutes, we're going to do all this. I'm just teasing, I'm being sarcastic. But hopefully we'll be able to clarify all this. You'll find the same reference in Mark chapter 1 and 8, Luke chapter 3, 16, John chapter 1 and 33, and then you'll have a reference in Acts to this. But there's many ways concerning the nature of the ministry of the Spirit. Many views is what I mean, many views. You have, and I'm just going to throw them out there. We're not going to get in depth with them, but you'll have the Wesleyan holiness view, and they talk about a second work of grace that eradicates the sin nature. You've got a Pentecostal view, which is they talk about a second work of grace, which again eradicates the sin nature and that it's necessary for salvation. And then they even go as far as to say that it's evidenced by speaking in tongues. That's where they come at it. You have a charismatic view, which is separate than the Pentecostal view. The second work of grace necessary for spirituality. or the fullness of the Spirit, evidenced by the speaking in tongues, and or other supernatural manifestations. So without getting into all the details of all that, I'm just going to touch briefly. You have an endowment with power view. And this view considers the baptism of the Spirit to be the endowment with special power on the seeking saint for the purpose of soul winning. And that's what they'll teach. It was held by, or these beliefs were held by, some folks that you and I would, names that you and I would know, like D.L. Moody and R.A. Torrey and some of these others, W.A. Criswell. These are big names in Christianity that you would recognize, and others held that endowment with power view. Then there's also the baptism into the universal church view, which this view considers the baptism of the Holy Spirit to be the act of the Holy Spirit in placing the believing sinner into the body of Christ, defined by this view as the universal church at the moment of salvation. You say, well, what's wrong with that? Because it sounds innocent. Well, it is not so innocent as it sounds. And because not only, that's just a segue that they use, and they get into a lot of other things, and it's skewed doctrine. So you have to be careful with that. Again, I cannot do justice in 5-10 minutes to all these different views. I'm just throwing this out there that you've probably heard of these different views, and this is why. You have a dual nature of the church view. This could be described as the non-ecumenical universal church view, or the local church on earth and universal church in heaven view. You say, Brother Dan, this is really confusing. You're right. Anytime you add a human to the mix, we can really mess things up, because everybody has their own thoughts on things, which is why it is extremely vital to get into the Word of God and to know the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit of God show you and teach you. And just know this, to put it simply, when it comes to studying Scripture and to studying certain controversial or apparent controversial matters, you'll know that the Word of God never contradicts itself. It never contradicts itself. And so you'll be talking with somebody and something will pop up, and then a red flag in your mind or in your heart will go up, and you'll go, wait a minute, that did not sound right. And it's because you know of another part in Scripture that would make that null and void. So the Scripture will never contradict itself. If there is an apparent contradiction, it is because we're not understanding it correctly. Because God is perfect. God is thrice holy. He is just in every way. And His Word is perfect, and it does not contradict itself. So you've got that view, which is really messed up. Then you've got the historical baptism view, which states that baptism with the Holy Spirit occurred historically in the book of Acts, and that it was a one-time event associated with the initial giving of the Spirit, but with ongoing benefits and results that continue today. And most of those that have the different views, usually that view that they have comes around to complementing their religion or their way of looking at things, and it follows their beliefs. And you've got the man-made element there. You also have the union with Christ view, defined as this view considers that baptism with the Holy Spirit is to be the act of Christ, the Holy Spirit enjoying the believer, and so on and so on. It gets very, very, very complicated. Then you have the water baptism view. This view states that the baptism of the Spirit occurs individually at the moment of water baptism. This is one that we would be more familiar with, in that many folks believe that that when a person is baptized, that the Holy Spirit descends upon them, and they use the baptism of Christ in the scriptures as backup for that. And they say that is when, and they tie it in with salvation. And so we have to be very clear when we're baptizing that we point out in scripture and that a person understands as they're being baptized that baptism does not save anyone. There's so many scriptures, there's so many verses that I could take you to that says once they believed, then they were baptized. So belief and your faith and trust in Christ is always, it always precedes baptism. Baptism is something that was commanded because it was symbolic. You have two ordinances in Scripture that were given to the local church. Two ordinances. One is baptism, and the other is the Lord's table or the Lord's supper. Both are to remind us, and they're symbolic of what Christ did for us when he was here. The death, the burial, the resurrection. Both proclaim the gospel. That is the gospel in a nutshell. The death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And those are items that we practice. Those are ordinances that we practice biblically as a church. And we obey Christ in doing that. And we do it because it honors him and it reminds us every time of what he did for us on the cross and how that he saved us. So then you have the water baptism view. That leaves us only three more to consider. Wow, only three more. You have the dual nature of the church view, the historic baptism view, and then the union with Christ view. Most debate among Bible-believing Baptists is usually between these three views. So I'm going to skip all the complicated wording, and we're just going to go right to the source. The most complete understanding of the primary meaning of the baptism with the Spirit seems to be, based on everything that I've studied, and I am limited in my knowledge of Scripture. I'll be the first to tell you, I am not the smartest cookie when it comes to this. There are folks that are highly more smarter than I am, but I've looked at that and I've studied it, and what seems to be the best approach to this is the union with Christ view. To be baptized with the Spirit is to be placed into Christ and to thereby be dead with Christ, Romans 6, buried with Christ, Romans 6, and raised with Christ to new life in the Spirit. Now this opens the door of our understanding, the benefits of the baptism with the Spirit, to all of the passages that speak of our being in Christ and of our being crucified with Christ and also dead to our old nature and also dead to sin. If you have a pen, I would like to write some references down for you to look at when you get home. Okay? Every one of those terms that I used are terms that you are very familiar with. These are terms that you have read throughout Scripture. And so that'll mean something to you. When we talk about being crucified with Christ, the Bible says, I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, and it goes on to say and talk about living that Christian life. You also find, so Romans chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, let's look at that really quick, but I would love for you to take Romans 6 and to pray and to read, and it'll speak to you, because the Holy Spirit of God that indwells every believer will show you what you need to see. Romans chapter 6 and verse 5 says, For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Now, you and I both know that it is not something that we put up a cross and then we take our old man and we nail him to the cross. But you know that when we're talking here, we're talking in the spiritual realm. And so knowing this, that the old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Again, it doesn't say we'll never sin, but it does say that we, from that point on, will no longer serve sin. A person that does not know Christ as their personal Savior, they're what we refer to as lost in sin. They are enslaved to sin. They have to sin. There's nothing else that they can do to get out of that. Their spiritual nature is a fallen nature, and it is enslaved to sin. You and I, and anyone that has Christ in their heart, and you have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, you no longer are enslaved to sin. We don't have to serve it anymore. If we do, it is a choice. Now that comes with a lot of responsibility. But if we do, it is a choice. You can't say, the devil made me do it. No longer. You no longer have that excuse. And so it's very important that we know these, that we know this. Galatians 2:20 is also a verse that I would like you to read. Now, it talks about of our being buried with Christ and of our being raised to new life in Christ. Here in Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 6, where we were. And verses 8 says, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. It's not something that happens repeatedly. Death hath no more dominion over him. He left heaven's glory and humbled himself and took on the form of flesh. He did that once. The Bible says, in the Scripture, it says once for all, no longer to be repeated. And death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. So likewise, just like what he did, because we are in Christ, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin. That's how we're to look at ourselves. We're dead to that. You've heard the expression, you know, you watch those movies where you say, you're dead to me, you know. And that means I no longer know you. Well, not, you know, and that's the same kind of concept. We're dead unto sin, but we're alive unto God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And because of that, then it continues in Romans 6 to say, so we're not going to let sin therefore reign in our mortal body. We don't have to. We don't have to. A lot of folks are concerned with this, that if you have that kind of mentality, the concern is, oh, you'll just do whatever you want. No, 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 no. It actually, when you properly understand what happened to us in Christ, when you properly embrace that and understand it as to what it is, you don't want to. You don't want to. Are you going to make a mistake? Yes, you are. Are you going to sin sometime? You sure will. But we have an advocate with the Father now. And so, but we're no longer enslaved to that sin. It is not a lifestyle that we enjoy. So this is an inexhaustible gold mine of life-transforming truth that will require an eternity to understand. There is some overlap between these views and some truth that they hold in common. While on some issues there are genuine disagreements on others. We're speaking of more of a different emphasis, more than actual contradiction. But you'll notice that the prophecies of John the Baptist and by Jesus concerning the outpouring of the Spirit in his New Testament ministry, beginning at Pentecost, they speak only of the gift of the Spirit and of the baptism with the Spirit, and they do not mention any other new ministries of the Spirit, including outpouring, which is why we said at the very beginning of this study that the Holy Spirit is not something that you, like, you go to the spiritual store and you buy Spirit bucks, or you buy a box of Spirit, or you buy a bag of Spirit. You know, you got to be filled with the Spirit. That all that has been miscommunicated, and that you have abiding in you as a believer the indwelling Spirit of God. You don't get any more than what's there, because all of Him is there. Amen. Does that make sense, or have I confused everybody? I don't know. Everybody's glassed over. I think the breakfast treats are setting in. Okay. Now, I have got to be done, but I will be done with this, because next week I would like to take up the anointing of the Spirit. The benefits of the Spirit are union with Christ. The benefits, I mean, of the baptism of the Spirit. And by baptism, meaning we are... Remember what the word baptism means. It means submerged. So when we see that term in Scripture, yes, there is a biblical reference in places of water baptism, but there's also references to being submerged in the Spirit, or submerged with the Spirit. So the benefits of being submerged with the Spirit is union with Christ, death and burial to sin and to our old nature, resurrected life and victory in Christ through the Spirit. We have an endowment, or an endowment with individual and corporate empowerment for soul winning and service for Christian and churches. That was given to the entire church, and that's why the church is an army, and we go forth and we reach others for Christ. And then it also, the benefit is unity among the members of local churches and among all believers. I could take you right now to churches that I grew up, that my parents started in Mexico, and we could sit in service and they could start singing, and they sing a song like "How Great Thou Art" in Spanish. Mi corazón entona la canción. And the Spirit in them and the Spirit in you can agree, and you can feel the same goose pimples that you feel here, you can feel there with people that you don't even know what they're saying. Why? Because of the Spirit. It is unifying. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful benefits of what we have in Christ and the baptism of the Spirit. Again, I could not do it justice in talking about everything, nor did I want to cloud up everybody's mind with all those different views of the Spirit. But I believe that we presented something that you can agree with if you read the Scripture and understand. If you need any more information, see Brother Mark. He knows everything about the Bible that you need to know, and he'll get you squared away. Right, Brother Mark? Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you so much for the opportunity that we've had to be in your house. We've had a full hour, and it's been wonderful. Thank you so much that we are submerged in the Spirit. We are in Christ. We identify with the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you all.